Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
As I look around the room this morning, I see a lot of awesomeness and joy and living testimonies. But what I don't see, here is a for sale sign. Now, you know, Memory Lane's a great place to visit once in a while, but it's terrible as a permanent address. So, but once in a while, we look back in order to be thankful. So I just want to bring a memory here before we go on any further. This has always been a church full of, not full, but with some very faithful people who pray and believe God for anything. Some of them are in this room right now. Some of them gone on to their reward. But when Melissa and I arrived here 30 years ago, almost exactly 30 years ago, the church had been going through a tough time. Huge mortgage, 12%, couldn't pay it. Some trouble, some fear. And there were for sale signs on the lawn. One deacon got in his mind, he's not a member here anymore. The thing we could do to honor God most was to sell the property and give it to missions. So that was a great welcome my first week coming in here to the office, for sale. And I remember every day rebuking those signs as I drove into the office. In the name of Jesus, no one's going to call. In Jesus' name, no one will call. And they didn't. So the prayer of faith works. But during those times leading up to coming here from Mississauga, we knew that God wanted us here. And so, ask the Lord for word, because I believe in any assignment that you have. And I haven't been a pastor all my life. I come from a non-Christian home, business background, and was called into pastoring and then out of pastoring, and now as a global worker. So I've done many different roles, but no matter what role you're in, no matter what your situation, you can expect that God's going to give you clear direction. And that's just the children's bread. So on my way down one day for one of the interviews, I said, Lord, you know, am I coming here? Yes. Well, give me a word. And he gave me Isaiah 62, verse 10. You can look that up later, but it's a foundational word for my relationship with this house, and perhaps it has some application today. And basically, first said, pass through the gates. That meant, yes, Terry, move here to Grimsby. You know, I was worried. Even the name of the town had the word grim in it, you know. It was far out there on a two-lane highway at that time, way on the other side of the lake, you know, Toronto snobbery. And it said, build up the highway. I thought, oh, that's cool. Remove the stones and raise a banner for the nations. So the Lord gave me the interpretation. He says, I'm going to build up this highway. And he said these words, because it was true at the time, as I found out that most people wanted a spirit-filled experience on a Sunday morning, they went, they drove out of Grimsby to find a church where they could have a spirit-filled experience. And the Lord just said so clear. He said, Grimsby will become a place where people drive to, not drive through on Sundays. Yeah. I would say that one worked out well. Then he said, remove the stones. I knew right away, that there would be obstacles. You know, one of them was a mortgage. There was other obstacles that were there. And then raise a banner for the nation. So here we are, a church, you know, trying to hit 100 on a good Sunday, you know, including kids. Too much month left at the end of the money. And the Lord's saying, this church is going to have an impact on the nations. Well, look at this today, Pastor Matt and Lisa. So, yeah. So to be back here and hear that's awesome. So the first 2 years, it felt like the obstacles were going to remove me. But in around 1994, we had these marvelous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's a story for another time. But one of my greatest joys is to be able to come in here every Sunday morning and just know the presence of God's going to be here. The visitation turned into a habitation, and the best is yet to come. Amen? Okay, so here we are today. Ready like never before, with a leadership team who are emotionally healthy, primed and ready to lead us into a Holy Spirit-saturated future. Amen. So today I want to raise the banner for the nations again. Okay. And I need to make a little bit of an explanation here. I'm a global worker now, but the country I work in, so I live here and I go there, and because it's the 21st century, I coordinate a ministry over there in a country that's going to come up on the screen now, but I don't want to mention it because it's going to be posted online. I go as a business person. I have a legitimate business that operates, is beginning to operate over there. We don't make any money, but we do stuff, and I get a business visa, and I'm able to go in the country because it's a restricted access nation that has primarily a Muslim culture, about 90%. Okay, you've got that up there. So just between us, that's where I go. And millions and millions of people that don't know Jesus never heard. And my entire focus in my ministry, it's primarily that country, but other places as well. I'm honored to be able to go and help Pastor Puspa. Our plans are being made in February. We go over because he's working very close to where we do. And but my entire focus is the least reached and the most vulnerable, because often they go together. Those that are either through climate change, food insecurity, all the rest, their lives are tenuous at times, and they have never heard the gospel. So I'm just going to let it rip now and say what I'm going to say, and let's just cover this with the protection of the Lord. Excuse me. Lord, I just want to thank you that we are not afraid and we are not ashamed. And what you want to do through us, we haven't yet seen. Open our eyes, change our perspective. Give us grace, Lord. Give us grace to hear your word like it was the first time. In Jesus' name, amen. Two facts I want you to tuck away and remember for the rest of your life. First of all, most Muslims live in Asia, not the Middle East. There's far more Muslims in Asia. And they don't always look like you might think if you're a Canadian and born and bred here. Number two is 75% of Muslims in the world today have never met a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's the issue. Not that they haven't heard, but they haven't seen. And it's not enough to send Bibles. We do that. And even the Bible League, that's not just what they do. They partner with local people. They don't just send Bibles. The name doesn't tell the story there. And people need to see. And my perspective has changed so much since the Lord's led me into this country that I've been in. And I've discovered these people, these Muslim people that I meet, well, they believe in one true God. They believe there's a heaven. They want to go there. They believe there's a holy book. They believe Jesus is a prophet. They believe that the Gospels were given by God. They just don't have a copy of them. And they want to know how to please God. I can work with that. I got more in common with that guy sitting cross-legged in a village sipping tea in that country I was showing you than I have with my next-door neighbor here in Grimsby when it comes to spiritual issues and shared space. And the language is a barrier, but once we get through that, I find that sometimes we have a lot more to talk about. Have you ever heard of Jesus or Isa? Yes, he's a prophet. Well, do you know a story? I'm not sure. Would you like to read about him? So that man that we had from our country was here sharing with the missions prayer a couple of weeks ago. It was an amazing situation. He's the one who has planted house churches amongst the refugee camp, amongst the Rohingya refugee camp. Amazing work. He's a former persecutor of Christians. Two of his brothers are imams, and now he has a discipleship movement. So I'm like, I'm in, I'll help. And so we've become friends. He's been here at my house. I've been in his house several times. You, Lake Mount, are resourcing him right now. You are resourcing a man who walked into a Baptist Bible school in his city because he was determined to get rid of all the Christians in his region. And he walked in and he said, "Oh, you look like me." And he ended up coming every Saturday for 2 years to study in the library to prove Christianity was wrong. And in the course of that, became radically saved. Now, thank you. Here's the thing. In order for anybody to believe that, they said, you got to quit your job because he was taking bribes. The pastor made him quit his job and come to church for 8 months and before he would even be allowed to be baptized. Then when he was baptized, he said, we're afraid they're going to still try to burn our church down because you're here. So they shipped him off to another city. His family kicked him out. His pastor kicked him out. Baptized and said, now you're too dangerous. Go in another city. The only people that would take him were Operation Mobilization. And they said, if you're going to live with us, you got to be an evangelist. So after all that, he went out and was a street evangelist for 2 years. This is a great newcomer program. Let's start this next week. Then we'll see. And so Brother MC is his initials. He just began to see that God is real, and he's got his own Bible college. He's got 150 pastors working throughout the nation. I'm going to be speaking with them. Our church is adopting this as one of the outreaches. Next year, it's going to be a regular thing in the budget to disciple his disciples or to resource that. It's just like, I try to get depressed, but it doesn't work anymore. I mean, it's just like, there's so much going on. This is barely the highlight reel. So let's get into the word, okay? I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1. Scriptures will come on the screen in a moment. But first, does anybody remember show and tell in school? I don't know if they still do that. Show and tell. I like show and tell. I always like, I'd bring my model airplanes. I always like model airplanes or model racing cars. Remember this stuff that you tried to snap together and then glue it with that stuff? Mom was always saying, don't sniff it. And bring it to school and show it, stand in front of the class and show it. Well, I remember one day the guy beside me, Jeff, he'd forgotten to bring in anything, and it was show and tell, and his name was called, and I saw the panic on his face, and he comes up to the front, or before he came up to the front, he looked in the desk, you know, they're open in the front, and he's got his hand going around, and he pulls out one of those little pink erasers. No kidding. And he walks up the front with the pink eraser, and he's like, this is my eraser, and this is what it does. And, you know, it's so awkward. And, you know, fortunately, this was before smartphones and YouTube, or this guy would have been all over TikTok or something like that. But anyways, I just remember him sitting down and we're all trying to smooth it over and make him not feel too embarrassed. But show and tell, when it's time for show and tell, the most embarrassing thing is to have nothing to show. Whew. It's show and tell time. In the kingdom. It's show and tell time. Let's see it. You believe that, do you, Terry? Let's see it. First time I went to this country, they just told me, oh, you're going to go preach to 100 people and you're going to do this and that. And I said, okay. I thought I was just coming like to see stuff. And they sent me, there's a whole group of us, and they peeled me out of the group and said, you're going here and you're preaching. I said, fine. And you're going to be 2 days up there. I said, okay. And I said to my translator, what do you want me to preach on? And he said, no one around here preaches out of revelation or about the Holy Spirit. We don't know. He says, pick one. I said, Holy Spirit. And I'm preaching about Jesus out of Luke. And in the middle of this, four guys leave. And there's a commotion. I thought, okay, I'll keep trying. And they come back in 5 minutes later with a blanket, each one with a corner of a blanket with a sick guy on it. And part the crowd, move up and drop them in front of me. I'm like, okay, this just got real. No more stories and trying to interpret them and apply them. Oh, we're reading about the sick guy that they brought. Oh yeah, we got one of those. Go bring him in. I tell people, when you go to these countries, stop contextualizing the gospel. It's all happening there, and you better believe it. So I prayed for him. You know what happened? Nothing. I'm telling you this because it's worth sticking it out when that happens. So we did it the best we could. I made sure he had some new clothes because he was in terrible need of some sort of fever. And I got to get through this one. I told the Lord, I'm not coming back. Not coming back till they get up. He called me here. It's your turn. You need to do something. That's how I pray sometimes. It's your turn. I'll pray when it's altar time. I said what I could. I did what I could. It's your turn. We've had some fun times doing that. So anyways, we went back. And 14 years later, I can tell you, with the 7 workers that I have in my ministry, I work with 3 other ministries, but the ones that we've raised up and pay for every month, most of our believers who are now followers, baptized followers, being discipled, they're there because God answered a prayer. Our guys just walk into a village and say, what do you need? Oh, my wife's sick. Okay, I'll go manajat for her. Just pray. And I ask the guys, how often does it work? They go, maybe 1 out of 3, 1 out of half the time, something happens. And that's you know, if that was baseball batting average, you'd be an MVP, right? So let's go do what Jesus said he to do and let him deal with the results. I don't have it all figured out, but I'm not going to stop doing what he said. It's show and tell time. So the church started with a show and tell day, and it was Acts chapter 2. And I want to read a few verses there. Acts chapter 2, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence, or pardon me, I'm in the wrong book. It flipped over, sorry. That's another message. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that spread, separated, came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Then Peter gets up and he starts to say, this is that. What you're seeing is connected to what we've been taught. And then he talks about Joel's prophecy. And then he says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all people and I will show wonders. And I've got those two words circled in my Bible in verse 8 and verse 19, hear and show. Show and hear. And on that day, the church was born with an event that needed an explanation. But for too many years, church services have been an explanation that needs an event. We desperately need an event in our church services. And I'm not talking about Lake Mount. Every service here to me is an event. And I'm thankful for that. But this idea of show and tell is right there back in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Luke says, all that Jesus began to do and teach. I am going to give you the rest of the story. What Jesus began to do and teach. Acts continues. It pivots from watching Jesus do his show and tell routine of heal and teach and deliver. And now it's the disciples' turn. And so it starts with an event. The sound, they heard a sound. They saw a sight. they were explained what that means, and then they were filled, and they went out and preached. Well, the first thing that happens is there's pushback. And in Acts chapter 3, after the healing of the lame man, then the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, all of those top guys of the Jewish religious faith at the time, you know, they bring Peter and John before them and say, stop doing this. And there's pushback. But what do they say? In Acts 4, verse 20, they said, we cannot stop talking about what we've seen and heard. Seen and heard. It's the seen that gives the power to the heard. And I read that in preparation for this message, and I thought, you know why we don't share the gospel as much as we used to or should or whatever? We've stopped telling because we stopped seeing. So let's go back and just say, Lord, show me your glory. Show me yourself. Speak to me again. John, in the book of Revelations, imagine this. He starts his gospel looking up and back at Jesus. He was the Word. Then he writes his gospel with, here we are. I'm laying my head on his chest. We're seeing him as he is. And in the letters, he says, that which we touched and handled. Then he starts the book of Revelation with a brand new vision. He had to see Jesus in a different light. He had to see him the way he is now, not back in the past, not even as a man, as he really is, you know, with that sword in his mouth and the eyes of fire and this grand, grand picture. He had to see and hear again in order to stay in step with what the Spirit is doing and give a word to the church. And the book of Revelations finishes with this. In Revelation 22, verse 8, John says, I testify. These are the things I've seen and heard. So if you're a dispensationalist, you can say the church age started with a seen and heard and will finish with a seen and heard. That's our job. That's our job. And you say, well, I'm afraid to pray for somebody, or I've never seen anybody healed or whatever. Let's just show them the love of God. And in that, the power of God can show up. Now, have we got some pictures that we can show here? If the first one there, what do you see on the screen? I see a brother in Christ. This is a long story that I'm going to make short. Rohingya spiritual leader. Muslim faith, I know it doesn't look like it. I told you that. They don't look the same. Every year he would do something to get God's favor. This is verified by some Lutheran missionary friends of mine whom I sat with, and they said, we never would have believed it if we didn't see the letters and the correspondence. He buried himself one year, not too deep, for a couple of days to seek God. You know, they do some pretty crazy things over there. Here, we do things, you know, for Jesus, like we will park across the street and walk to church. So this guy buried himself with a breathing tube, and while he was there, Jesus showed up. And I don't know what he said, but I picture it. It's like, hey, bro, I can feel you. You want to have a resurrection? You know? I don't know what Jesus said to him. But anyways, he comes up, and he tells his followers, we got to follow Isa. And they went and sent letters to the churches, and they thought they were being tricked. They wouldn't respond. So finally, long story short, they responded. Now they're following Jesus. See, the day of Pentecost was just the opening ceremony. It was limited and local. Right now, it's unlimited and global. The Holy Spirit's been encountering people the same way every day since the day of Pentecost. When Melissa and I were in Ukraine in 2005 doing a Holy Spirit conference, the guy leading worship was a former army officer in the Soviet army, and Jesus had showed up to him in a dream, and it was so powerful. He came with fire on his hands and touched him, and he woke up, and he's hitting his wife saying, I had this dream. She said, just a dream. He didn't even know who it was, but he knew his grandmother had read a book or had a book in her house with the guy with a white robe that looked like the guy in his dream. So he went and asked and found out it was Jesus, and he went to his first church service, heard the message, and stood up in the middle and stopped him and said, that's me. I need to get saved. And now he's a worship leader. And he was singing that song, Let It Go Forth From Here to the Nations. It was just a little mind-blowing. So I know two or three other people I've met in different places, same thing. The Spirit's ahead of us. What's missions? You're just out there trying to explain what God's already doing. We're meeting people that are encountering God. They may call themselves a Muslim or an atheist, but they're encountering God because the Holy Spirit's ahead of you and me. Now, I got to bring this home already, so let's go to the next slide. This is from April. This is my last trip to that country. So the guy on the left is MC's head guy that does all the disciple making. The guy second from the left was a convert from Islam, and he would become a street preacher. And he was on the street, and he was getting stoned. People were throwing stones at him and beating him. And the guy on the right was a local imam, and he saw this, and he saw that the guy didn't get angry, that he just kept speaking and sharing. And he said, I've never seen love like that before. I want to find out his message. Met with him afterwards and also became a follower of Isa. Every one of the guys in the picture, except the guy in the checkered shirt, had to lose his family for his faith. Got kicked out of the family, got kicked out of the mosque, and now they're discipling others. And I just love them. They're my brothers, beautiful people. Next slide. Next slide is my buddy, Abul. He'll come up there in a second. And Abul is one of several in the country that I've been working who, he's 70 years old, and he's an amateur philosopher, and he studied all the religions he could. And when he came to the Gospels, he said, there's something different. Then our evangelist met him, and he goes, you guys love the best. You love the best. As soon as he became a follower of Isa and baptized, the village turns against him, which happens often over there. And they brought false charges against him, brought him up before the local judge. We got through it. Everything's fine now. They'll often refuse them access to water wells and, you know, things like that. And they make it through. Abul is a wonderful, godly man, and although we cannot speak each other's language, the moment we see each other, we light up. And he's one of four or five of our guys that have become followers the first time they heard the message. Maybe at one chapter of the Gospel of John, they go, that's it, that's what I've been looking for. This is not rocket science. We just got to be willing to go where he says go and do what he says to do. So I need to show you one more slide quickly. The ladies aren't allowed to be evangelists, so they do incredible things. Like, this is a group that we supported. Our ministry paid for this, and they just took friends that we know over there. We work with them, and so they took 10 ladies, bought sewing machines, taught them how to sew. These are people who are widows, or their husbands have left them, or they're street women. And gave them months of sewing lessons, and then they could buy the sewing machine on time at a discount. And guess what? A lot of them are followers of Jesus now. So we can't be an evangelist, but we can find a way. So that's the end of my show and tell slides today. I'm enamored with these people I work with. I love their heart. I love their spirit. So does God do this in Grimsby? Some of you might remember we baptized someone over in the West Hall 25 years ago who was a Muslim and would never come into the church. People were praying, and one night Jesus showed up in a dream. He had red marks on his hand and walked towards him, said, I did this for you. A week later, he's here wanting to get baptized. That happened in Grimsby. Okay, so what do we do? Listen, I'm as happy at, you know, Starbucks sharing about Jesus as I am wherever it may be. And in just 3 weeks from now, I'm thrilled that I'm going to be able to go over and actually speak to all those Alpha students we heard about before. I'm going to Pakistan and Lahore and Show Me Its Father and the people over there, the Church of Pentecost, have rented a stadium. This was just an idea back a few months ago, Pastor Matt and Lisa, and now there's 4,500 people learning about Jesus, and they want me to come over and do the Holy Spirit weekend thing. So that's you, Lake Mount, and that's your anointing, that's your prayers, You've conditioned the atmosphere. You've called in the power of God. And some of us are called to be the bridge and go out and share. But we're well aware Jesus is ahead of us and you're behind us, and we're all doing it together.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.